Well, Guilford College has made history. It did so when its board of trustees chose Jane Fernandez as the new president. Jane Fernandez is the college's first female leader and one of the first deaf presidents of an American college or university. She most recently served as provost at UNC Asheville for 3 years and has had a long career in education. She's been an administrator or faculty member at 4 other universities from Honolulu to Boston. Along the way, she's pushed for better collaboration between the deaf and hearing communities. Jane Fernandez started her tenure as president of Guilford College at the beginning of this month, and she joins me now on the State of Things here in Greensboro. Welcome, Jane. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
And I should probably point out for our listeners at home that you're being assisted by an interpreter who's standing behind me, signing and as we speak. You grew up in Massachusetts. Tell us about your early education.
Yes, I grew up in Worcester, Massachusetts, and my early education was all about learning how to speak English. So my parents hired a teacher, and she actually lived in a home with us and put all of her time into helping me learn how to read and write and speak English. I went to public schools, but I was assisted by the speech teacher throughout my elementary and high school years.
And so you learned to speak at a very early age?
I would say it was a process of learning to speak, and I didn't have it all down at an early age, but I developed the skills, so probably by the time I left high school, I was comfortable.
How did your instructor teach you to read?
Well, actually, it's an amazing process. From the time I was born, actually my mother wrote in storybooks a phonetic alphabet over every word in a storybook. And then that symbol related to something that I had to do with my mouth or my nose or my breath. And I learned that over my lifetime.
Well, and literature has been a very important part of your life and your academic career. You have degrees in comparative literature and French. Tell us about your higher education.
I did major in French and comparative literature in college, and I got a doctorate in comparative literature. I studied French, Italian, English, and American Sign Language. A lot of people sometimes ask me, how in the world would you major in French, you know, for what? And so that's the great thing about liberal arts colleges. My professors never told me, you can't do that. When I told my professors, I want to learn this, they said, okay, we'll try. I think it was really just about learning another language. I used the same process that I used to learn English. I applied it to French. And so it was really natural. That's what I was doing all the time.
When did you learn American Sign Language?
I learned American Sign Language in Iowa when I was 23, after I finished my master's degree. My roommate... she was actually taking sign language class, and she asked me to go to a deaf club with her in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And she was scared to death to go into the deaf club, and I was really okay. So I drove with her, and there, for the first time, I saw about 300 deaf people, and they were all signing. And that's how I started to learn sign language. Up until that time, the only deaf people I knew were my mother and my brother.
So that prompted you to learn sign language? I mean, had you considered learning sign language before that?
I never really had considered learning sign language before that, and I don't think I ever really knew that sign language was an option for me. But when I started learning it in Iowa, eventually my professors gave me a lot of academic freedom. So they let me add American Sign Language to one of my languages, and then I wrote a dissertation about American Sign Language storytelling.
That's interesting, because when you were named president of Gallaudet University, Gallaudet in Washington, D.C., it really touched off a huge protest because you had learned sign language so late, right?
I think the protest generated from my being a deaf person with a different set of attributes than the deaf community wanted to see in the president of Gallaudet. So one of them was that I hadn't learned sign language until very late.
What is it about that, though? do you think, or what else was it that they wanted to see in you that they didn't? Because this identity question seemed to be a very important one and ended with your having not being appointed to that post.
Well, in the process of learning about what the issue was, I think basically I didn't have the attributes that the community wanted to see in a person who was a leader of the deaf community. It's more of a concept of being the mayor of the deaf community. It was not really about who was leading the university as much as a symbolic role of leading the deaf community. And they wanted to see someone who was exclusively signing, someone who had deaf parents, went to a deaf school, married deaf people, had deaf children. I had some of those attributes, but not all of them.
I say it's interesting because you were then instrumental at the University of Hawaii, for instance, in making American Sign Language an accredited class, an accredited language, right?
Yes, I did. It was a great accomplishment at the University of Hawaii, the large state university. And I worked from a small community college and persuaded the University of Hawaii to accept American Sign Language to satisfy a foreign language requirement. It was a great accomplishment for deaf people.
You were there before you went to Gallaudet. Am I right about that?
Yes, that was before I went to Gallaudet, yes.
What are some of the gaps, do you think, between deaf and hearing communities, particularly at the university level, and how do you think they can be better connected?
Well, deaf people are a very small minority. Although deaf people meet hearing people all the time, hearing people really rarely or almost never meet a deaf person, and so almost never know exactly how to accommodate deaf people. So at a university, it's really about giving deaf people equal access to information in the classroom, but also in the dorms, in the co-curricular programs. The access could be through interpreters or through note takers or other forms, assistive listening devices, things like that.
Is that changing? Do you think it's getting better at most universities?
Oh, it's 100% better. In my lifetime, the world is wide open for deaf people now. Almost anything can be accomplished by a deaf person today. Complete change.
And then how important is it? We talked about American Sign Language as an accredited course, so this means greater access perhaps for the hearing community to a language that they otherwise might not have taken.
Yes. So, yes, more hearing people who learn American Sign Language will make it possible for deaf people to be included in mainstream of life.
What does it do for the hearing community in terms of just sensitivity and awareness for the hearing community to take a language like that? Does it build any kind of bridges? I mean, just knowing that language, it seems to me, would make me more sensitive and understanding about what some of the challenges are for me as a hearing person and for members of the deaf community.
Well, I would say the best hope, it's a wild dream, that public schools would require American Sign Language to be taught, maybe like third grade, fifth grade, eighth grade, and 12th grade, and there would be culture classes as well. And then everyone would graduate from high school with some basic knowledge. Some people would be great at it, some people would be good at it, some people would be horrible at it, but everybody would know. And that would be a basic way for deaf people to be more included. Short of that, it's probably all pretty much depend on individual motivation to learn.
Something about North Carolina attracts you. You came from the University of North Carolina at Asheville, where you were most recently provost there, and now you're here in the Triad at Guilford. What brought you to North Carolina?
What brought me to North Carolina? A tremendous reputation for higher education, both public and private, brought me here. It's one of the states with shining, powerful higher education system and a belief in the power of higher education for citizens.
There is, from some quarters, we hear worries that commitment to higher education is under threat. Do you sense that, and would that be a problem in a state like North Carolina?
Well, I really see it as an ebb and a flow, and that it has happened before in American higher education. It's not the first time that higher education, or liberal arts in particular, is under question. So as a leader of Guilford College, a liberal arts college, I think we need to be committed to demonstrate very clearly to the public and to the legislators the value of liberal arts education and why every student deserves that education as the best career education possible today.
There certainly is pressure on liberal arts institutions today in this state, a much more attention paid by the governor and the legislature to community colleges, much more vocational education. That's where they think our future is. You just made the case for liberal arts. How would you answer their charge that what we need to do is prepare our students for the 21st century in community college vocational education?
Well, we do prepare students for 21st century education. Liberal arts prepares students to be nimble and to be able to adapt and adjust to whatever changes happen. For example, 7 years ago, we didn't have social media at all. Now, almost everything is happening through social media. But a liberal arts graduate will have a basic foundation in communication and will be able to adapt and learn current strategies. Liberal arts graduates in history, the track record of humanity, the vast majority of leaders in our nation and the world have a liberal arts background.
Jane, I want to take a break right now and then come back and talk to you some more about what you expect at Guilford College. So we'll take a break here. My guest is Guilford College President Jane Fernandez. She's the school's first female leader, one of the first deaf presidents at an American college, and our conversation continues. But first, the music of Andrew Eversole. Andrew? This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. My guest is Guilford College President Jane Fernandez, the school's first female leader, one of the first deaf presidents of an American college. And we were talking about the importance of a liberal arts education. You've been to a lot of large state institutions. Now you're going to a relatively smaller, certainly private institution. What are the challenges for you? How is that going to be different, do you think?
I think I'm finding that a lot of it is very similar. So a lot of what I've learned over the course of my career really has prepared me to be the president of Guilford College. One thing that's different is it's private college, and so it is its own entity, and there's no other layers. The Board of Trustees runs the college. So I really look forward to that because I think we can make more authentic decisions. Whether they're good or bad or hard or not, there are decisions.
How do you think a university, a college like Guildford, distinguishes itself from even other private institutions?
Guildford College drew my attention through their emphasis on practical liberal arts, and that is exactly the kind of college I want to lead, because they are demonstrating every day to students and the public that what students learn in the classroom can be taken and used in the real world to solve problems. Guildford students do things with what they learn, and that's a vital skill for our society.
Well, here's one of these real-world things that you're going to have to use. You were born in Massachusetts, then most recently you've come from the mountains of Asheville. You're now here in the Piedmont. It's hotter. I'm just saying it's hotter here.
Yes,
right? That's
yes,
your biggest adjustment, I think. It's just the heat.
Yes. And the worst thing about it is it sprouts weeds from the top of my head. Really, really is a problem.
Yeah. Well, we'll stay tuned and have you back when that happens, Jane. Thank you so much. Jane Fernandez, the president of Guildford College. Thank you so much.